Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 48. This is on page 1030 if you're using the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 to 38. This is in the context of that what is famously known as the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. And if you were to look in the beginning of it, this is Jesus taking his disciples and teaching them. He's preaching a sermon to them, and he's teaching them various things. And there have been large crowds, but now he's directing these things to his disciples. And he is in many ways making corrections. He wants to make it explicitly clear that he had not come to do away with the law. Maybe that was an accusation. He had come to fulfill it. He was the fulfillment of the law, all of it, every jot and tittle of it. And so he continues on that theme in explanation to his disciples, so there's no misunderstanding with regards to the law in the life of a Christian. We certainly, as we heard last time, it's never something that can merit us salvation to obey, never grants us merit in the presence of God. It's Jesus Christ, His blood and righteousness. And so we uphold that teaching, that to be declared righteous, to be justified by faith is a glorious truth. And yet that is not the truth that Jesus is highlighting. Even when He says things like, your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, as He previously said. It is certainly true, you must be, their only way to be justified is by faith alone in Christ alone, and to have His righteousness imputed to you, to be declared righteous, to be declared not guilty, to have His perfect obedience and righteousness credited to your account. That's nothing you, it's received by faith. And Jesus, I think, is meaning something more. It's a yes, that's true, but there is a righteousness that is in a practical way worked out in your life. You're not only declared righteous, but you are being made righteous, being made more and more holy, being made more and more like Him. And so Jesus is going to do what He often does. He's going to raise the standards, if you will. They have tried to water things down, Pharisees and their teachings, and that's what He's going back and forth with. He's not contradicting the law, of course. He's saying, you've heard it said, meaning you've heard what they've taught and how they've taught these things. They're wrong. Let me tell you what they mean. And he's proving and he's showing that the law is spiritual in nature, and it's not to be a mere surface level thing, which is something that we try to point out in the Ten Commandments when we work through them, that it's as Jesus is teaching us here, that hatred is murder, lust is adultery, and so on and so forth. And he's clarifying, but he's saying the Pharisees only had a sort of skin-deep righteousness, a superficial, surface level, a form of godliness and denying its power. And so Jesus is clearing that up. This is what it means to follow Him. This is what true Christian living looks like. And he's going to even go so far as to say things like this. You in verse 48, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And he's driving you to that end, to that aim. Not that we can be morally perfect and sinless in this life. Here, it's probably a summary to what he said, but it's also in connection to that kind of love that he's showing forth from the Father. That the Father's love is the kind of love that loves you while you were yet enemies, Paul would put it. And so they are teaching, well, you should hate your enemies. And Jesus says, well, actually, that's not true. You've misunderstood the law. Let me tell you what it really means and remind you. And he's driving back to the Father and the love of the Father. And so it'd be a question for us, wouldn't it? Do we understand these things of what it truly means to follow Christ? True heart conformity, obedience that's real and spiritual, not merely external and ceremonial. That's what Christ is calling us to. Genuine Christianity, what it looks like to follow Him. Well, with those things in mind, let us give ear to God's holy word, beginning in verse 31. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abides forever.